Your Bibles, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. We're in a series, if you haven't been here, and all these are standalone messages, so you haven't missed anything. But we've been taking the Gospel of Mark a chapter at a time. You can look up the Mark, if you got your smartphone, you can look up Mark chapter 13 as well. I'm going to definitely, you know, how I always do it, do the PowerPoint with the scriptures. I know I had somebody this week, Josh, for instance, this week wanted my notes from last Sunday. So anytime you want notes, because I put the scriptures on there and everything, I will email them to you so that way you can study them for yourself. I don't mind doing that at all. I love doing that as well. But one of the things that has been on my heart here lately is I love to teach God's word. I love it. I mean, I know that's what God's called me to do, and I love to teach it. But I decided here not too long ago that I really need to. There are some churches that go, some ministries that go verse by verse. I thought, well, I'm going to go chapter by chapter and do books of the Bible. You know, we'll do Old Testament, New Testament. But the reason why I'm doing that is because I don't skip anything. Because I believe that we're as ministers, we're to teach the whole counsel of God. Not just teach the things that we, our little pet, you know, subjects that we like to teach on. And so this makes you not skip anything. And it teaches, you know, because I'm going to be held, I don't know if y'all know this, but the book of James says I'm going to be held under stricter scrutiny because God called me to be a teacher. So I've got to teach the truth. So last week, you know, I taught on the widow's offering, and so I taught about money. And I apologized up here one time. And I went home, and over dinner, over Sunday dinner, my daughter got on to me. And she goes, Daddy, do you teach the truth? And I said, yes, I do. And she goes, you don't apologize then. I was like, well, yes, ma'am. You know, when your own daughter speaks to you that way. And so this week, when you come to Mark chapter 13, and this is something that a lot of ministers, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or anything like that, but I've done it too. I'll be honest with you that we shy away from it, talking about the end times, the last days, because there's so many things we don't know. But when we let what interprets the Bible interprets Bible. When we get into the Word of God, when you actually read it, it tells us what's going to happen in the last days, and we're going to look at this today. And so the title of this message is "Stay Awake" out of Mark chapter 13, and we're going to do like a quick rundown of this is going to be a quick tour of the end times and last days. And Jada even told me the other day, she said, you probably ought to broke this down into a series over the whole month of December and talked about, who knows, this might turn into a series for the month of December called The Second Coming. I don't know. But there's a lot of information that I'm going to give you today. I shouldn't say information, a lot of revelation that I'm going to give you today from God's Word. But I want to start off with this. About this, the title of the message is Stay Awake, and it made me think about a time I used to think, you know, we get our driver's license when we're 16, and you know, so I've been driving for quite a while now. I'm 50 now, so I've been driving for quite a while. I was driving even before I was 16 because I grew up on a farm northwest of Leedy, and I got all kinds of stories about that, but that's not the story I want to tell. But there was something I always thought is, and I know some of you guys in here are truck drivers and stuff like that, but I had this, I don't know if you want to, pride, so to speak, that I could never, there is no way, and I heard about other people doing it, but I was like, there is no way I could fall asleep at the wheel. There is no way, you know, that could happen to me. And I'd heard about other people falling asleep at the wheel. I was like, that could never happen to me. It happened to me. And it happened in Elk City one time, and I was doing, you know, starting out, we had, Tay was a little baby, and so I was working multiple jobs. I was even in ministry at that time, was doing real estate appraisals, but also was delivering papers in the morning. And so like at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm rolling papers and going around Elk City delivering papers. And one morning, all this caught up to me. And here I was in my 20s. I'd never fall asleep. I'd never do that. And one morning, I fell asleep at the wheel. And I do not remember falling asleep. I don't even know when I fell asleep. But when I do know when I woke up, because I was about to go through the front office of a motel there in Elk City, because I was delivering papers to this motel. And I still believe to this day angels protected me, because it looked like an angel's sword just slashed my tire, my front tire, that made me stop before I actually went into. Of course, I jumped some curbs and tore up a planter area that was out in front of the motel. And you talk about waking up then, you know, stay awake. And I was just, the adrenaline, I was like, I cannot believe I just did that. And then the motel owner about kicked my butt out front of the motel at 5 o'clock in the morning, was calling me everything but a white man. So it was almost a minister versus motel owner. The motel owner, I'll just give you a little bit, he was an Italian, and I won't tell you who his name was. He doesn't live in Elk City anymore. He was an Italian, and he was starting to bring out the Rocky Balboa in me. And but anyway, we smoothed it all over. By the time it was all over with, we were good buddies, because I had to give him my license because he didn't believe that I would come back and fix his planter area. And I told him, I said, I'm going to come back and fix your planter area, and I promise you it'll look just like it did before. And I went and hired me a carpenter guy to help me, and we come back, and it took us all day to fix it back and match the paint. I still remember the paint color was this sky blue, some kind of color, and had to match the paint and everything. And he gave my license back, and he said, well, you're a man of your word. I appreciate it. But earlier that morning, he called me everything but a white man. I'm just going to tell you that. But anyway, it was a neat deal. But here's the whole point of that story. The reason why I shared that story was because I believed that I could not stay, that I would never fall asleep at the wheel. I had that pride that I never. And the Bible says that in the last day, the very elect can be deceived. That's all of us here this morning. And so we need to stay awake. Amen. So I'm going to teach you here in a little bit how that we can all stay awake in the last days. I believe this will really, really speak to all of us today. But anyway, we're going to get into Mark chapter 13. I encourage you to read this chapter. This chapter was also told in Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21. So that means it's a very important thing, because it's in all three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. And so I'm just going to kind of do a little rundown through Mark chapter 13. The actual verses that we're going to look at, or the last few verses of the chapter, is Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. And we'll get to that here in just a second. But in Mark chapter 13, it starts off that Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple to his disciples, and that happened. And because they were admiring the beauty of the temple and all that, and he told them, you know what, no stone's going to be left, you know, this is going to crumble, and it did. Then he goes into, you know, the disciples are asking, what's going to be the signs of your coming, your second coming, the signs of the times, the signs of the end of the age? And they asked about life in the last days, and Jesus told them. And I'm going to go really fast, because I know, and some of you already got your notes out, and I appreciate that. You can definitely take the six. I love it. Little Grace is always sitting over there taking notes, and I love that. But you just may want to listen and go back and watch this on the podcast, because I'm going to go fairly fast. But Jesus talks about destruction. He talks about deception in the last days. He talks about disaster. He talks about distress. Are we seeing all that? Yeah, we're seeing all that. But here's what I believe in what Scripture teaches, talking about prophecy, is the only thing that hasn't been fulfilled yet is the declaration of the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Are we close? I believe we're very close. Because nowadays we have internet, we have TV, we have radio, we have lots of means that they did not have back when this was written. So the gospel is being preached to the ends of the earth. Then Jesus talks about the Antichrist, and I want to stop here for just 1 second and show you a verse, and there's a reason why your pastor is wanting to show you this verse. It says, so it's in verse 14, and I'm not going to put it up there, Mark chapter 13. I'm just going to read it to you. Jesus stops in the middle of all this, and he says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, so to be, if you understand the word of God, that would be good to go back and read Daniel, don't you think? Okay. Because Jesus is quoting Scripture here. Standing where it ought not, okay? He said, let the reader understand. Then he goes on and says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains and all this. So he says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. And he says, let the reader understand. And so I wanted to read that, because that is important that we read the Word of God. so that you understand. If you want to have understanding, we're going to look here in a little bit in Mark chapter 13. We're not going to know the day or the hour. Angels don't know. You know, how many of you remember the book, 88 Reasons That Jesus Is Coming Back in 1988? If you're that old, some of you are like, I'm not that old. I don't remember that. Well, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. There's been a lot of books written and all that kind of stuff. Jesus said, nobody's going to know the day or the hour. Angels don't know. He says, I don't even know when I'm coming back. Only the Father does. And he'll tell me when it's time and for me to go, when it's time for him to saddle up the white horse. Amen. But I wanted to read verse 14 because I want to talk about, and he's talking about the Antichrist setting himself up to be worshipped. And this is in Daniel and Revelation. And this is why you need to read the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I understand this, because you got to read the Holy, you got to read the Word of God, first of all, with a cup of coffee and with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And definitely got to have the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God. And if you'll pray and say, Lord, help me understand this, he'll help you understand it. I'm going to explain a little bit about reading the Word of God. There's different styles. God spoke through men and women in Scripture throughout the ages, okay? The Holy Spirit spoke to them. So there's different styles of literature in the Word of God. And the best analogy I can give you, it's like reading a newspaper, you know? And, all right, I'm going to say this. Some churches are like going to the comic book section, all right, every Sunday. Some churches are like going to the sports section every Sunday, and that's what we all like to read, right? But we need everything in between. Amen? We need it all. And so, and I'm not knocking the funny, you know, I like the funny pages. I like, nobody likes sports more than me. But, and I'm using that as an analogy to say that sometimes I like going to what I like to teach on, you know, and I like teaching on grace, but we need the whole counsel of God's Word. We need it all. And so that's how the Bible is written. It's kind of like a newspaper. And so the book of Revelation and even the book of Daniel is written in allegorical, where there's a lot of imagery, right? Have you ever read that? You know, I was reading it this week, and I was looking at, you know, he was talking about how this thing that he saw in this vision looked like a leopard and a bear and a lion. Oh, my, you know, oh, my, you know. And I'm like, but all that imagery speaks to something. And what it's talking about is empires that have been through the ages. The Roman Empire, you know, the Egyptian Empire, those empires that have happened, and how it's all going to culminate onto one person, and that's the Antichrist. All right? Now, let me just go through real quick, and I told you you're not going to be able to take notes. You'll have to listen to this again, but I'm going to give you real quick 16 characteristics of the Antichrist that are actually found in the Word of God, all right? They're found in the book of Daniel. They're found in the book of Revelation. And I'll show you some scriptures out of the New Testament about it as well. But it says that the Antichrist will be a person, all right? And it says that he's going to persecute Christians. He's going to rule by charm if possible and force when necessary. He changes the calendar and the seasons. The book of Daniel says that. And when we read that, we're like, what? Somebody's going to change the calendar and the seasons? Okay, there's a reason why this guy's going to do that is because if you think about this, the seven-day work week that we all, or the seven-day, I should say, we work 6 days, rest on one. That's the rhythm that God set in place. You know where that comes from? It comes from the book of Genesis, from how he did creation. All right, 6 days he created. I'm a very simple Bible scholar. I believe he did it in 6 days. All right, 6 24-hour days. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Don't send me any emails and say, he did it in 24 hours. Come on, it took millions of years. Hey, we're talking about God Almighty. Amen. He can do anything he wants. I believe what the Word says. I believe what the Word says. He did it in 7 days. But this Antichrist, he's going to come on the scene. He's going to change the week. It says it. He's going to change the calendar and the seasons because he knows that everything that we do today points to Jesus. That 7-day work week, that points to Scripture. That points how God set it up in the beginning. And you're like, what kind of work week are we going to have? 4-day, 3-day, 5-day, 9-day? I have no idea. Here's another one. I'm just giving you, this is some, okay, hold on. Like the year 2019. We're in 2019 year of our Lord. It's 2,000 years. He's going to change that because he don't want people, anything referencing Jesus, referencing God. And you're like, and I know everybody's looking at me like, how's that going to happen? Okay, guys, we're already seeing the spirit of Antichrist at work. Paul talked about this. Even in his day, it was at work. It's just been increasing every generation. I'm going to give you an example. We got people now that don't know what the difference between male and female are, all right? Yeah, and then we think he's going to change the calendar. And say, well, it's already happening. The spirit is already here, but it's going to culminate on this one person. All right, he is a medium. The book of Daniel talks about that. He's not a large, he's a medium. That's a joke, by the way, okay? and the Bible even says in the book of Daniel, it says he understands dark sentences. This means this guy's going to have a direct line to Satan himself of the communication, direct prayer line. He's going to be satanically energized, satanically charged, totally demonically possessed by the enemy, okay? So he's a medium. He's an absolute dictator. He considers himself a god, and so does the world. This is going to be the best example I can give you from history. This is going to be like Hitler on steroids. And some people, when we go back up here to he is a medium, if you've ever studied the life of Hitler, which I have, a lot of people don't know this, but Hitler dabbled in the occult as well. And a lot of people don't know that. He's an absolute dictator. He considers himself a god, and so does the world. He will be the biggest blasphemer the world has ever seen. He will have no respect for family or tradition. I don't really understand all that. I'm telling you what I've read in Scripture. In the book of Daniel, it says that basically some say, well, he's not bisexual, homosexual. It says he's asexual, meaning he don't know what he is, basically, right? Okay. But he has no regard for marriage. He has no regard for family. He has no regard for family tradition. The book of Daniel talks about that. What he does worship is military might. He worships military might. He claims deity, that he's God. He does miracles. That's why Jesus was saying, when you see that abomination of desolation set up in the temple, you know it's fixing to happen. Here comes the 7 years. He is from the abyss or from hell. He is empowered by Satan. He is assassinated and resurrected. He will demand worship. He is the epitome of pride and power. All these characteristics I'm giving you, you can find in the Word of God, in Daniel, Revelation, even in the New Testament. Then Jesus goes on. I just took that one verse. That's all the things when Jesus said you need to read. So go read the Bible and you can understand who this person is going to look like and what he's going to act like. And then there's going to be the Great Tribulation. And you can study about that in the book of Revelation, where God says there's going to be 7 seal judgments, 7 trumpet judgments, and 7 bowl judgments. And you can read all about that. And then he talks about the second coming, that he is coming again. There's actually two-thirds more scripture than there were about his first coming. Okay? You take prophecy. A third of it talked about Jesus coming the first time, born of a virgin, that we're fixing to celebrate next month, the birth of our Savior in Lord Jesus Christ. There's another two-thirds prophecy talking about throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament talking about his second coming. Okay, if he came the first time off of one-third of prophecies, how much more is he going to come the second time off of two-thirds? See what I'm saying? The prophecies were there. They missed him the first time. A lot of people missed him. We don't want to miss him. Amen? So we've got to be ready. All right, I'm going to show you a few scriptures. Is everybody liking this? Okay, this is some stuff you don't hear taught a whole lot on on Sunday mornings in churches. And that's why I want to teach us so we understand this and go through the Bible verse by verse. All right, here's 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 4. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. And here's what's funny is because you've got to think about this. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have TV. They didn't have radio. They didn't have all this stuff. All right? And so, listen, this is funny to me. But these believers, after you read this now, but these believers in Thessalonica thought the day of the Lord, the second coming has happened. We missed it. That's what. And so Paul's writing to him saying, no, you haven't missed it. All right, the apostle is. Because he says, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come, talking about the second coming, until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. And then 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, it says, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. All right? So those are some things in the Word about in the New Testament about the Antichrist. Then in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 10, this is the Apostle Peter. So I'm showing you the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, how they were teaching in their generation almost 2,000 years ago to their generation. He says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Okay? Here's the Apostle Peter telling him, let's go back to Genesis. All right? Go back to Genesis. By these waters, here's the second part. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. There was a flood. Even scientists have proved that. There was a worldwide flood. Okay. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment. This is in the future, and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Look at somebody say, the Lord's not slow. Okay. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. All right. And then Jesus, in the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, verse 12 says, behold, I am coming soon. He's coming. The second coming is going to happen. He's coming. And we all have to be ready. And that's what the scripture teaches. I'm going to go back up to scripture real quick because I just feel that I need to do this to explain to you something. It says in verse 8, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. I read that one time because Jada, we think we're on this earth, we were human beings, we're finite human beings, right? All right. And so we don't think like God. We think linear in time, linear. And so Jada was asking me, and even, you know, even a lot of the graphs that you see people put up on stage and of the end times, it's all linear. And I don't know if that's exactly right because of this scripture right here. That's why I want to explain this. Jada came to me one time. This was after Jaden had went home to be with the Lord. And she told me, and this was, and I was feeling the same thing. She was just telling me what I was feeling as well. And she goes, Mark, you know, he was just 18 months old. We're going to miss out on so much, you know. And, you know, what is he going to be like when we get there, when we get to heaven? Is he going to be grown up? Is he going to be a young man? What's he? And I said, honey. And one day I was reading the Word of God because I was like, Lord, I need to give me an answer for that one because that's a good one, you know, because we've all thought that. And I was reading one day and this verse just jumped out at me. And the Lord showed me with the Bible. He said, Mark, you think like this. You think this is the beginning, this is the end. And then this is all the stuff in between. You think linear. He goes, and if you can wrap your mind around this, I'm the beginning and the end. And I'm also all in between. And I'm also all the way around. And he said, Mark, I'm not limited by time. Now that's mind-blowing. Boom. Yeah, they're all just ding, 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 ding. You know, it's, and he said, I'm not limited by time. And this is, I'm just sharing with you something that the Holy Spirit ministered to me personally. He said, Mark, when you get to heaven, you know, if I'm 70, 80 years old, however long the Lord, 120, you know, Dad and I are going to live to 120. Bible says that we can do that even after the flood. Is he said, and he was showing me this with my Bible, beginning and end, and all in between, and all the way around it. I'm God. I am. I'm everywhere. I'm not in time. I'm out of time. And he said, Mark, when you come to heaven, Jaden will just be getting here. And I was like, what? I mean, I just got chickens. I just got goosebumps on the back of my head thinking about that. Yeah. And I was like, what? And it just blew my mind. And he said, Mark, I'm God. I got this all taken care of. I was like, wow, okay. But that blew my mind because that's how we think. We think linear. Everybody got me? All right. So when you're studying Scripture, you got to think about that. I think God thinks in circles. Okay? Simba, the circle of life, you know. All right. So you just got to think. God don't, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. That's where faith and trust comes in. God's got it all figured out. And I do know this, that God is a God of love. But is he a God of judgment and just a just God? Yes, we just read about that. That's going to happen. Right now, we're in love with this God of grace. That's who God is. God don't want to judge. That's not his nature. Okay? He's a God of love. And, you know, I could go on and on. Maybe I do need to do a series on this, huh? Because I feel it coming out of me. All right. So now we're going to jump over. Is everybody learning something? All right. Now let's go to Mark chapter 13, and where I wanted to get to. And this is, we just went down through Mark 13 real quick, everything that Jesus was teaching about the last days. And then in Mark 13, and this is what really jumped off the page at me. He says, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, talking about himself, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake. Everybody say, keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Everybody say, stay awake. Therefore, the next part, therefore, stay awake. Look at somebody say, stay awake. Okay, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Look at somebody and say, stay awake. Now you know why I got the title of this message. Because four times Jesus says, stay awake. In fact, I just put it up there four times for you. Stay awake, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. And it's just like me when I thought, and it, sometimes even as Christians, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to fall asleep, God. I'm talking spiritually. And I'm telling you, the spirit of slumber in this age is already here. You know, it's here, causing all of us to fall asleep, and it happens little by little. I was studying this, and I know Carrie will appreciate this because she's a science teacher, is I was thinking about this, and there's something that we all deal with physically. I'm going to relate this spiritually. But how many of you ever heard of a circadian rhythm? Okay, I knew Carrie had, and Luke, of course. Who over here? Circadian rhythm. All right. All right, so let me just show you a little diagram, and hopefully I do this justice. I'm not a science teacher. But I found this diagram to kind of explain to you it physically, is that your eyes take in light that basically help adjust your biological clock, which is where your circadian rhythm comes from. So output rhythms are, you know, physical things, behavior, everything. That's why you hear of people, Jade and I were even talking about this the other day. We were talking to somebody who had wrote a book, and he said he did a Facebook ad, and he was talking about where people read a lot. He was doing a targeted Facebook ad trying to figure out where people read a lot. He found out that London is a place where people read a lot. Well, if you don't know about London, it's foggy, rainy there a lot. And Jada mentioned, she goes, you know why people read there is because of the weather. But it's also why a lot of people are depressed. You know, you've heard of the winter blues and all those kind of things. It's because we haven't taken in enough light, and it messes up your circadian rhythm, which affects you physically in your behavior where you're depressed. Cabin fever, all that kind of stuff, you know, because we got to be outside. And so I don't even know how you say that word down at the bottom. Suprachiasmatic nucleus, just call it the SCN. basically, here's another thing, the way you call that inside of your brain. This is how God made us, by the way. So inside of your brain is a master clock. Some of you have experienced this just recently with our time change. Did it mess up your rhythm? Just 1 hour. Think about that. 1 hour messed up your rhythm. 1 hour. And then it took you a few days to get adjusted to that. It was your circadian rhythm. You got out of cadence. You got out of rhythm. And so I'm going to leave that up there for you just to look at that for just a little bit. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about circadian rhythm. Look at somebody and say, this is going somewhere. Okay. We're going to take science into scripture. But circadian rhythms are physical, mental, and behavioral changes that follow a daily cycle. They respond primarily to light and darkness in a person's environment. It's controlled by nerves clustered just below the optic nerves behind the eyes. Okay, so your eyes have everything to do with it, what you're taking in with your eyes, taking in light. Here's an example. People get jet lag. How many of you heard of jet lag? Okay, people get jet lag when travel disrupts their circadian rhythms. When you pass through different time zones, your biological clocks will be different from the local time. For example, if you fly east from California to New York, you lose 3 hours. When you wake up at 7 a.m. on the East Coast, your biological clock, your circadian rhythms, are still running on West Coast time, so you feel the way you might feel at 4 a.m., which is pretty drowsy and groggy and all that kind of good stuff. Your biological clocks will reset, but this often takes a few days. Okay? Now, the reason why I taught you about, you can go home today and say, I learned about circadian rhythms in church today, is the reason why I told you this is because just as in the physical, we deal with this in the spiritual as well. And I'll call this a spiritual circadian rhythm. I want you to think about this, all right? Everybody got their thinking caps on? We have, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have traveled across time zones spiritually. And I can prove this in Scripture. You have been translated from darkness into His marvelous light. In Colossians chapter, I'll give you the scriptures that talk about that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 1 Peter 2:9 says that you have been translated from darkness into His marvelous light. Now, here's an example. Here are tips for people that travel to keep your circadian rhythm in check. Here's one, just one example I'm going to give you. You know, and there's all kinds of tips. They say, get all jacked up on Red Bull. Well, don't do that, okay? You don't need to do that. But one of the healthy things that you can do, that's not healthy, by the way, drinking Red Bulls, you need to stop it in the name of Jesus. But one of the things that they say that you can do that's healthy if you travel time zones is do not wear sunglasses when you travel because you need light to come in to keep your circadian rhythm in check. So there's your little travel tip today. There are some things that we can do, and here's what I want to teach you today. And so here we are, 11:37, and I'm going to give you six things. Y'all ready? Ready for this? I'm going to give you six things that you can do to stay awake spiritually in the last days. This is very practical stuff. I love what the King James Version says in Mark chapter 13 when Jesus is speaking. In the King James Version, the way it was translated, Jesus said, take heed, watch, and pray. Take heed, watch, and pray. I'm going to break that down into six things. Guys, I'm going to give you an example of spiritual circadian rhythm. When you get saved, you know, and I've seen this as a pastor, I've seen it in my own life, you get on fire for Jesus, right? By gosh, I'm going to make it to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. I'm so fired up, I'm in the Word every day. About 2 weeks later, it ain't happening. You know, I'm going to miss church this Sunday. I need to sleep in. I'm going to miss Wednesday night church. I'm not in the Word. My prayer life is lagging behind. Am I talking to anybody besides myself? That's happened even in my life. And so what happens is you start off, you just translate it out of darkness into your marvelous light. You got all this light of Jesus, and you're all fired up. And then that light just slowly, day by day, because you're not staying in the Word, prayer, not staying in fellowship with other believers, it goes, and it doesn't ever go out because you still have the light of Jesus in you, but it can get dark. And it can get so dark that even as a Christian, you can be deceived. Okay? And so you got to keep that light on. Look at somebody say, you know, it's like Motel 6. Keep the light on, okay? All right, I'm going to give you six things on how to stay awake in the last days. Number one, don't relax. And I'll explain that. I'm talking, and when I'm saying this, not physically, but spiritually, all right? Don't relax spiritually. And you might be saying, well, we're supposed to rest in God. Yeah, rest in God, but you're at peace with God. I'm not talking about the peace of God, rest in God. Just don't relax. And what I mean by that, don't compromise your walk with the Lord, all right? And I want to read you a scripture out of 2 Peter 2, verses 7 through 8 with this. And it says this about Lot. It says, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day. Okay, if you don't know this story, it's talking about back in the book of Genesis, Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed, okay? It says, for that righteous man, Lot was a righteous man, he knew the Lord, living among them day after day, was tormented, listen to this, in his righteous soul, which is his mind, his will, and his emotions, by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. The things that were coming through his eyes was messing up his spiritual circadian rhythm. And he was living right in the midst of it. And he was falling asleep. Thank God for Abraham, who was interceding for him and prayed him out of all that stuff. And you remember, they told him, the angels came and got him out of there. I'm going to share this real quick. This is also a type and shadow of the rapture, that God's taking us out before the judgment comes. That's a whole other teaching, but this is a type and shadow of it in the Old Testament. But I just want to show you this, that he was in the world, and the world was getting inside of him. Is everybody seeing that? Righteous Lot. Jesus even said in the midst of his discourse about the last days, Luke 17, verse 32, he said, remembers Lot's wife. Why did he say that? What we just read in 2 Peter. Because they were there, she looked back. Because it was so much in her, she looked back. All right, and so that's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. All right, is everybody staying awake? Not relaxing, right? Not going to go to sleep while Pastor Mark's teaching this morning. All right, how to stay awake in the last days. Number two is stay in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, talking about Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You got to stay, have a prayer life. And, a lot of times people, and don't make prayer like, oh, I got to go to church and got to come up at the front and the altar and get on my knees and pray, 2 hours a day. I pray, guys, when I'm in my pickup driving. I pray when I'm in my deer blind. You can pray anywhere, anytime. All right. Have that communion with your Father. Stay in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. Fellowship with other believers. We've got to have each other. All right. Psalms 119, verse 105, talking about the Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You've got to have that light. You've got to have that light coming into you. And you might say, well, I'm not a reader. Well, what we just read in verse 14, read. And there's so many ways you can read today. Get it on tape. Get it, put it in your vehicle when you're driving to work and listen to it. The audio version of the Bible, whatever. There's so many ways you can get into the Word of God today. If you got to get Braille for God's sake. Get something, Some of you will get that later. All right. Just get into it. If you got to get a coloring book to color pictures about the Word of God, do that. Get into the Word of God where you understand what's going on. All right, how to stay awake in the last days. Number three, keep your focus. Keep your focus. Romans 13 talks about this. Says, besides this, the time, the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. There's that light again. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. So he's like, walk in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. There it is. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. That's where our focus has got to be, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? What you're letting through your eyes is going to affect your spiritual circadian rhythm. What you're seeing, even what you're hearing. So you've got to protect yourself. Okay, how to stay awake in the last days. Number four, stay fueled. Look at somebody and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's the reason why. We leak. How many of you had to fill up your vehicle this week? Yeah. Well, we're like that. You got to keep filled up with the Holy Spirit. You got to stay fueled. If you get low, you know, you could be out there with low, that, you know. How many of you are like me and like to see how far you can go on the low fuel light? Yeah, let's test it out by faith. All right, don't do that. You know, every time I do that, I was like, this is the dumbest thing, because the other day I was out there, I was out west of Leedy 20-some miles, and but the low fuel light had been on all the way out there. And I was like, I just hope I make it back. And, you know, then that's when you're like, okay, what friends do I know? I can call Dusty, I can call my brother. You know, somebody come and get me. But here's what I'm trying to use that as an analogy, is stay filled up. Don't let your spiritual life have that low fuel light on all the time and just see how far you can go. Because that's when deception happens. That's when bad decisions happen, things like that. All right, Matthew 25, verse 5, this is where Jesus, and I encourage you to read this, is in verses 1 through 13 about the parable of the 10 virgins. And he says this, Jesus says this as he's teaching it, and this is talking about the second coming. And he says, as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept in the middle of that parable. If you know this parable, five of them were ready, five of them weren't. The five that weren't was because they didn't have any oil. They didn't stay filled up. And what that whole parable is telling us is I can't live off of Jada. The oil represents the anointing or the Holy Spirit. I can't live off of Jada's Holy Spirit, even though she's my spouse and I love her. She's the most important thing to me outside of my relationship with the Lord, is I can't live off of her anointing. I can't live off of her oil. I got to have my own. Got to have my own. And that's what he's teaching in that. You got to stay filled up. Amen? Okay. Here's number five, how to stay awake in the last days. Never travel alone. This is Hebrews 10, verse 25. This is why Jesus sent them out two by two. He didn't let them travel alone when they were here. Not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day of, you know, the second coming is coming, and as we see this day approaching, we got to continue to meet together as a church. We need each other. You don't realize it today. You may be tired. I know I'm looking at some of you, and you look tired. Some of you are starting to fall asleep during my message, and you've had a rough week. But here's what I know. You made it to church, and I'm proud of you. And you may not feel like you're getting anything today. You're like, oh, my Pastor Mark's teaching on the last days. You know, I've heard this stuff before. You know, but here's the deal. You're receiving something from the Holy Spirit. You're receiving strength, you're receiving his anointing, you're receiving his grace, you're receiving. Even those days when you don't feel like coming to church, come, because you're going to receive. You're going to receive. All right. And I'm going to tell a story on this one. This never travel alone, for an example, is our church. Even our church, we're not traveling alone. We're underneath a covering, Trinity Fellowship Church in Amarillo, Texas. I know I don't say that a whole lot around here, but that's who I go to when I have questions or concerns or prayer requests or whatever. And we have a monthly meeting every month of us pastors here in Oklahoma that are all like-minded, and it's an awesome time that we get together in fellowship, and we have a teaching piece, then we go eat lunch together, and it's a great time. So great that Jada's like, you've got to go to that every month, because she realizes how much I need that, because that never travel alone. I come back from those times fired up, ready to go, you know, again. And but there's been times, and I'm going to be honest with you, as a pastor, you know, over the 19 years that we've been here. And there was one here, oh, it's been several years ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. And I'm just going to emphasize this point of never travel alone is in Scripture, it teaches, and this is a whole other teaching, but in Scriptures, it teaches about elders in the church where the apostle went and he set up a church. He appointed elders that were there to take care of that church. And so one of our elder here, Dusty, one of our elders, and an elder, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they get the, there is a business side of the church, and I understand that, where you have to have meetings and, you know, the financial things and all that kind of stuff. But in Scripture, really what an elder is to do, there's always administrative stuff, right? You know, the business side of ministry. But what an elder's, according to Scripture, what an elder was supposed to do was govern the spiritual atmosphere of the church. Govern it means keep out the enemy. You know, keep out the demonic spirits. I'll never forget Pastor Robert Morse, who we've all heard a lot of times in teaching. He was talking about some of the things that he wished he knew before he planted Gateway. And they're 20, you know, 19. They planted about the same time we did here. And I'll never forget the time I was listening to him teach. He was teaching on that at a pastor's conference, some of the things that he wished he knew. He goes, I wish I'd have known how much spiritual warfare was involved. Because he said, I thought we're just going to have, oh, well, let's all have fun and plan church. But he said, but I realized how much the enemy hates the church, because it's the bride of Christ. And so he said, I realized how much of my prayer life that I needed. And anyway, just to emphasize this, never travel alone, there was some things that had happened in our church, and I was feeling it. I was feeling it that, and it wasn't nothing with anybody here, but it was just spirits, the spiritual atmosphere. Something had shifted, something had changed, and it wasn't good. You know, I could feel it. Now, most people that, because elders, that's what we're to govern, is the spiritual atmosphere. I was feeling it, but during that time, I had fell asleep. My prayer life was lacking, just going through the motions of church, being a pastor. You know, I've done this enough that you, and this is the scary part, that, oh, I can do it. You know, we'll just make it through another Sunday. I was like, it was like Sunday, Monday, Sunday, you know, and I'll make it to next Sunday. But that was all, just didn't have that light wasn't there, wasn't awake. And Dusty caught me before church one Sunday. You know, when Dusty talks, you better listen, all right? And Dusty's a good friend of mine. And Dusty, he said, hey, he came back in my office one day, and he did it so righteously and so graciously. He said, he looked at me and he said, and I knew immediately that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, to me. He said, we need to take back control in our church. Somehow the enemy has got in here and taken control. And I mean, you know, ding, 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 and the Holy Spirit was going off of me. He's right. And we took back control just through a simple prayer and got back on track. Some of you need to hear that this morning. You've let the darkness come in, and you need to get back on track. And you need to take back control, because you've let the enemy come in and take control in some areas. And you need to take that back in the name of Jesus, okay? All right, here's number, so you can't do it alone. Never travel alone. Okay, how to stay awake in the last days, number six is don't lay down. If you want to keep from going to sleep, don't lay down. Don't sit down, all right? And so with that, I'm going to have every one of you in here stand up, okay? Because this is how we're going to close today. I'm going to read a scripture over you, actually two scriptures, okay? And I'm going to read this passage over you that's out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19, and you'll understand why I had you. You'll understand why I had you stand. There you go. Look at somebody say, stay woke. Okay, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 19. Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, stay awake with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. We got to stay awake, but we also got to go and keep sharing the gospel. Amen. That's what we got to do. And there's two things that how I want to close today. First of all, how we normally close, I just want to make sure everybody here knows the Lord. Here's the deal on the end times when we just taught that. Jesus is not trying to scare us, okay? He's trying to let us know what to expect and to take care of business. How many of you would like me to do a series on the second coming in December? Okay, there we go. That's what we're going to do. So Jada, she told me to do that, so that's what we're going to do. All right, before we go, I just want to make sure everybody here knows the Lord, and because this goes out on the radio and also online. And so even if even though you're saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, if you're standing there with family, Jada, will you come up here? And you can grab hands with somebody if you want to, with your family, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Tell somebody, hug somebody's neck, say, stay awake. Stay awake.
We need men to stay.
Okay, yes, and we need some men to stay to help us get this set up for the shower, if you don't mind. If you don't have